good to see everyone this morning. I have a word for the Peters this morning. The Lord said that the song that you heard today is the life you've been living. You have been fighting your battle on your knees. And the Lord said, because of the decision that you made in your heart this past week, in your prayer time, laying those battles before the Lord, the Father said you're about to experience an early fall. Amen. The Lord said, just like when that first cool breeze comes, and people tend to walk outside and just take in the moment and breathe in the coolness of that fall breeze, it tends to bring a calm. And the Lord said that you're soon to experience the breath of the coolness of His Spirit that's going to settle everything around you. And as it begins to settle, God is going to begin to lift you into the promises that He has made to you. And it is soon coming. It is not far away. Amen. My intention in preparing for this sermon series was to preach and teach the first three chapters of Nehemiah. Oh yeah, children, you may be dismissed. You may not care about Nehemiah any more than we do Leviticus. So, my intention was to preach the three chapters. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and to teach those chapters. As I've said before, I used to do a 26-week series just on Nehemiah. But the Lord called an audible. On the Wednesday before last Sunday, the Holy Spirit made very clear that God was calling an audible on what I had been preparing. And then He confirmed it the very next morning, very early in the morning, when I sat in a large room with a large group of people concerning our nation. He began to confirm the audible. The Father, God, has some things that He needs us to understand that have to do with this nation. It has to do with God wants us, the church, to understand our responsibility for rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. That's what He wants us to know. We need to rebuild the spiritual walls of the nation. And guess what? It's our responsibility. Ours. The church. To rebuild those walls. Now, Nehemiah is a very important book. And I believe that God is going to extend His mercy to this nation again, just as He did with Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls. For us, it's a spiritual thing. It's the spiritual walls for the borders of our nation. That God is going to extend His mercy again if, don't we love that word? If the church will listen and respond accordingly. It's our responsibility. Now, in Nehemiah, it begins in the year 444 BC. It's a story about Nehemiah, who is going to lead a third group of exiles back to Jerusalem. It also includes the story of rebuilding the walls that had been torn down and the gates that had been burned. But you got to rebuild the walls before you can set the gates. We'll talk about gates at another time. This is about the walls, and God's wanting to talk to us about rebuilding the spiritual walls. Now, where I'm going this morning, you're going to think I'm talking about gates, but I'm going to be talking about a particular type of gate. So, this is what the book's about. Now, we began last week with looking at chapter 1 from the beginning. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. He is not the cupbearer you've seen in movies. This guy was a soldier, a bodyguard to the king. And he receives a report about the walls being torn down in Jerusalem and that things are not going well, and things are not going well for the people. We read where it said that immediately upon hearing that information, he sat down and wept and mourned for days for the information that he heard. It says that he prayed earnestly and fasted night and day. Then we landed in his prayer in that time. And I uncovered the first key point of what God wanted us to understand about our responsibility for rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. If my shirt doesn't tell you how important it is, then you've missed it this morning. It's the church's responsibility. Churches. Come on, churches. Without the church doing what it's supposed to do, the politicians will never get where you think they ought to be going. Church, rebuild the spiritual walls, things will change in this nation. And the right people will get where they need to be. It's about the church rebuilding the spiritual walls. I'm going to move to another point this morning. Now, Nehemiah is our backdrop, but I am not getting to do what I wanted to do, which was to teach a whole chapter and then another chapter and another chapter. God is plucking some things out, bringing them to my attention as the points of what he needs us to understand in rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. Now, Nehemiah has heard this information. He has prayed. And then at great risk to his life, he goes before the king. I don't have time to develop all that's involved with that. That'll be another time. He goes before the king at great risk. It's not like it is today. It was a whole different thing to come before the king. Even if you're the cupbearer. So at great risk, he goes to the king, makes his request known of what is on his heart and why he's burdened, that he wants to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. God gives him favor with the king, and the king says, okay. Gives him letters to get him through all the different territories to go do this. Now, Nehemiah arrives, and then he takes a few people with him, doesn't tell anybody else what he's doing, and he goes and surveys all of the land to see what the condition of the walls in Jerusalem are really. Now we're going to pick up the story at that point and begin to see something that will take place that God wants us to understand. He's just going to pluck out a moment to call us to attention as the church on what we need to do. I know there's so much more within that chapter. So don't say, well, you didn't say this and you didn't read that. No, you hold on to what God wants us to understand today. Can we do that? Okay. I'm excited that some of you took my encouragement last week about Nehemiah as a treasured book, not to just read through it, but to read each chapter, study them. Some of you have contacted me and said you're doing that. Praise God, I hope more of you will. But let's look at what God wants us to understand today. Let's begin in Nehemiah chapter 2, and I'm going to ask everyone to stand because of what I'm going to unpack, that we honor God's word this morning. Those of you who are online with me, unless you're in a boat or driving, and you're going fast in that boat, I'm going to ask you to stand. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. But now I said to them, now he's gone and surveyed the land, and now he's called the Jews and the leadership together, including the priest. But now I said to them, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Hope somebody just heard a truth there. Come on, church. It's time we stand up and rebuild the spiritual walls. Verse 18. And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, speaking of the favor God gave him, also of the words that the king had spoken to me. Now listen what they said. And they said, didn't say one group, they said, let's us rise up and build. Church, we're being called to rise up and rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Father God, I come to you today, and I thank you for the audible, because it is a season in which the church has got to awaken and to understand what it is we need to do to rebuild and strengthen the spiritual walls of this nation. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, it's Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, where God said, this is point 2. In Nehemiah 3, 1, it says, then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priest. The first group to arise and declare, we're going to go build the wall, was the priest. It is our responsibility. We're priests and kings in Christ Jesus. Whose responsibility is to rise up first and go rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation? The church. This is very, very important. They were the first to start rebuilding the walls, because they were the gatekeepers of truth. And we, the church, are the gatekeepers of truth. Oh no, I thought that was the pastor's responsibility to be the gatekeeper of truth. No, it's the pastor's responsibility to remind you that we are all responsible to be the gatekeepers of truth. We are the gatekeepers of truth. And God wants us to understand that. Pascal said this, truth is so obscure in these times, and falsehood so established, that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. There is a call to the church to fall in love again with the truth instead of dividing it to fit our lifestyles. That was free. We got to be lovers of the truth. Lovers of the truth. And I have found, unless we're lovers of the truth, we will not defend the truth. If we're not lovers of the truth, we tend to not speak the whole truth. You got to love the truth, even when it hurts, brings correction. Remember, the scripture says it's profitable. Not only for blessings, but also for correction. Since when did correction become profitable? Well, you want your kids to understand that. They don't. We didn't when we were kids. What's profitable in this? But now that I'm older, thank you, Jesus, for some of that correction. Amen? We got to be lovers of the truth. If we are going to build, rebuild, renew, re-strengthen, whatever words you want to use, the spiritual walls of this nation. Key number one from last week, we have to dive into the big three. What are the big three? Repentance, number one. We've got to repent on a personal level. We've got to repent on a church level. And then we need to repent on a national level. And you heard Rochelle do that in that prayer last week. Powerful prayer. Led by the Holy Spirit. Repentance is first. Second is to pray earnestly. As I shared last week, when was the last time we were broken over something that happened in our nation to where we pulled an all-nighter praying for our nation? And then thirdly, we got to walk humbly before God, and in parentheses for part of that is fasting. That's number one, key number one. Key number two is we must defend and proclaim the truth. We must proclaim the truth. We must defend it also. But you must be a lover of the truth. That means study. That means spending less time doing some things that are robbing your opportunities to know the Word so you can fall in love with it. Got to be lovers of the truth. And the church must awaken to its responsibility as gatekeepers of this truth. A huge part of rebuilding and strengthening the spiritual walls of this nation is repentance, it's earnest prayer, it's walking humbly, and it's the church becoming vocal with the truth and standing up and defending truth and stop being silent. Because I'm afraid somebody won't like me. This past week, I had to stand up for the truth. Nobody said they didn't like me, but I got some looks. Well, I thought that's what pastors are supposed to do. Can I give you a revelation? That's what Christians are supposed to do. Jude says this, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I was compelled to write to you urgently, appealing that you fight strenuously," also meaning tirelessly, persistently, "for the defense of the faith," the truth, "which was once for all handed down to the saints," the church. The faith that is the sum of Christian belief that was given verbally to believers. Did he make it very clear what our responsibility is? I think so. You got to know the church, the truth. But here's what we miss a lot of time. We got to rightly divide that truth according to what it really means. And that takes study. One of my first pen truths today is America desperately needs the church to lead people back to a gospel-centered way of living that affects the present culture. Now, let me lean on what Colin said last week. One of the things he took from my message last week about it is our responsibility to rebuild the spiritual walls, and it begins with the repentance. And he began to speak to us on a level of, yes, let's begin at home. Fathers praying for their families and their children. Okay, we got to come back to home. It's time the church fall back in love with the truth so we can make a difference. It has to begin here. Now let me give you some points of reference. Number one, we must defend and speak the truth, God's word. We must. I'm talking about the complete body revealed truth contained in Scripture. All of it. Not just the Scriptures you like. I mean even the ones that are convicting you. Well, I don't want to share that with somebody because I don't want to be offended. Oh my gosh. The Word of God is going to offend. Correct? Word of God's going to offend. Because it's truth. And we have got to defend and speak the truth that God has entrusted to the church. It's not been entrusted to a few. It's been entrusted to every person in this room who received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All of us. Every one of us. And what's lacking the most is that the church has not made this the number one read or study yet as a whole. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? I spent a lot of time with people. All kinds of people. You've heard me say this from the moment that we planted this church. The Bible should be your number one read. I was at a pastor's conference. Holy Spirit wants me to bring this. I was at a pastor's conference. Rochelle and I were. And they had a panel up there. And they're always wanting to know, what are they reading? What have you been reading? What book are you reading? What podcast are you watching? And what's the pastor's name up in Dallas? Yeah, Ross. Ross. He's an African-American pastor in Dallas. He is so hilarious. But anyway, I wanted to get up and go up and high-five him, but he was too far away. Here he is in this panel of known pastors, known preachers that if I mentioned their names, you would know some of them. And they're all telling all this stuff, and they get down to him, and they said, what have you been reading? And he said, the Bible. He's a pastor of a large church. And they said, no. What have you been reading? The Bible. They asked him three times before the guy at the other end decided, I better shut up. Since when is the Bible not enough? That was the point he's making. And we've got to spend time with him. I'm telling you, when he said it, he meant it. He wasn't reading any books. He wasn't watching podcasts. He said, I'm just reading the Bible. The Bible should be our number one read. Number two, we need to fall in love with this word. This truth. It's our lifeline. And here's another freebie. It's the lifeline to this nation. Second Timothy 3:16 says, All Scripture. Can I say it again? All Scripture is breathed out by God. See, that's under attack. No, it was just men. No, God. It was just their thoughts. No, God. First of all, we got to believe that. Or we're already in trouble. We're going to rebuild the spiritual walls of this nation. God has given His church His word to speak. Speak to others. So start speaking it. Because when you do, you join into rebuilding the spiritual walls of this nation. And it takes all of us. Every single one of us. Penn Truth. That I said last week, I'll say it again this week. We, as the church, have the seeds of renewal in us. It's called the truth. If we're putting it in us. If we're putting it in us. And I can feel it. I mean, it's bouncing all over the altar right now that we are just too busy. Get unbusy. You need to start recognizing what is not the Father in your busyness. But the enemy convincing you, you have to do all that. Got silent on that one. Let me tell you another truth. God's Word is the complete and final revelation. It needs no additions and no revisions. None. And everybody's trying to bring revisions and additions and saying it's not the final revelation. Yes, it is. And if you don't believe that, then we're going to struggle to build the spiritual walls back up. The word of truth entrusted to who? The church. In truth, God is the author of truth entrusted to the church. My next point, why are we to defend and speak the truth? Well, I think I've made that clear. It's our responsibility as the church. One of my wreck me verses, every time I read it, it wrecks me, it convicts me, it stops me in my tracks, no matter how often I read it. And it's Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice. Love what she said earlier. Holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent. I like that, intelligent. Act of worship. It is our responsibility to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should make the sacrifices necessary to make that happen. That's our reasonable worship. That's our reasonable worship. Because every fundamental, foundational truth is under attack in this nation. That's a truth. And the church has got to arise. And it's not just happening from outsiders. The broken side of my heart is it's happening from within. So there needs to be a renewal, revival of falling in love with uncompromised truth from this book in the church. We must arise. We must arise. We must stand up and we must stop being silent. What should a gatekeeper do of truth do? Gatekeepers must defend the truth earnestly. It cannot be half-hearted. It just can't be. It has to be done with all diligence, with all earnesty. We should contend for the truth. And this should be a major emphasis in every church in America. But when we have pastors standing in the pulpit saying this isn't complete and that it's not all truth, we've got issues. And I hope one of them just heard me, because maybe they'll email me, call me, we'll have a conversation. I am not afraid of that. Truth. And if I don't have the answers, I've got some overseers that are theologians. Oh my goodness. We can have a powwow. It can't be half-hearted. Truth has been delivered and deposited in each of us. Question is, what are we going to do with it? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith, from the truth. Grace be with you. Do not stray from the truth in this book. Penn Truth, the gospel is a treasure. And we have a serious responsibility to it. Serious responsibility to it. Very, very serious responsibility to the truth. Gatekeepers must live the gospel. Yeah, I got there. We must live the gospel. It's not enough to speak it, defend it, because somebody's watching. We must live the gospel. We must conduct our lives consistent with the principles in this book, as written. Notice, as I said, as written. None of us are perfect. We're not always going to hit the target. But man, we should be striving to hit the mark. We should be striving to hit the mark. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Your life. Be worthy of this word. Let me say this about this word. This is costly. What do you mean? I know Jesus died on the cross. No, there are people who gave their lives so you could hold this book in your hand when they were putting it together. Gave their lives. Went to prison. It's precious. Philippians 1:20 again. Here, 1:20 from the New Living Translation. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ wherever, whether I live or die. How will we be remembered? How will we be remembered as a Christian? As a Christian. Gatekeepers, next, gatekeepers must preach and teach the gospel. You notice it didn't say preachers must preach and teach the gospel. It didn't say elders must preach and teach the gospel. Gatekeepers. Who's the gatekeepers? The church. What is preaching? Well, I can't preach. I can't get loud. It has nothing to do with being loud. Preach is presenting what? The gospel of truth. It's the presentation of the gospel of truth and then teaching it. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Jesus declares that the mission of the church is to do what? Preach the gospel to all creation. The church. My last pen truth today, we labor under a divine obligation to defend and speak the truth. And the church cannot neglect this sacred duty. I'm going to ask Rochelle to join me on the platform as I read my final statement to you today. We have an exciting thing going to happen after church. We're going to have water baptism. I can't wait to see the kids water baptized today. I'm excited for the kingdom of God. I'm excited for the sacrifice Jesus made as these kids follow the decision in Christ. In water baptism. But there needs to be way more kids. And there's a lot of kids who have never, ever stepped foot in a church. Church, do we need to rebuild the spiritual walls of our nation? Yes. We have been called by God to defend His truth. God will call you to do all sorts of courageous deeds in order to protect His truth. Let me pause there for a moment. He will call you. Are you responding? I'm telling you, He's calling everybody in this room. But how many of us are obeying and responding? And because you're online, you're not separate from that statement. Protect the truth. So may we unite, lift the name of our Lord Jesus Christ higher and shine unashamedly in the dark and weary world, in a dark and weary world, and defend and speak the truth and rebuild this nation's spiritual walls. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you if you feel comfortable with this. I know we live in a time where I have to say that. That you walk across the aisles and join hands with the person across the aisle from you. Some of you may have to move back an aisle. And what is the purpose that we're doing this? This represents a wall, layers of defense against the enemy. Can you see it? And it's time that we join together as a united front, unashamedly, and go forward and defend and speak the truth and rebuild these spiritual walls. And how are we going to do that? Together. Together. We're going to do this together. So, Most High, glorious God, You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the Lion of Judah. You're the bright and morning star. And we worship You. and we glorify you. And you're not the God who cannot do what you've done in past times as you did for Nehemiah. You are the God who is most powerful to do it again. And now we, the church, Father, repent not only in our own lives, but for the church in America, for not defending and speaking the whole canon of the gospel, the scriptures. That, Father, today, you know what my hope and desire is that I have brought before you in earnest prayer. That every person in this room today will commit to you privately, personally, because you're a personal God. And then together as a community of faith, that together we will stand and we will rebuild the walls, the spiritual walls. We will. And so, Father, today as we join hands, we declare before you that we're a united front. We will not be ashamed. We will let our lives bring glory to your name. And we decree this and declare this before you now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated.